I'm listening. What do you require?
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt Wow, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. I'm Aprilian, currently of the Earthen Ring server, and today is Friday, July 13th, 2007, and this is episode 29 entitled Instances Galore. So today, I have Glanther.
Hello, once again, everyone.
And we're going to talk about what we did this week, and we're going to focus on some instances. How have you been?
I've been doing very well. I've been playing my Blood Elf a lot. I have to say that I really like the Horde. At least I like the Blood Elves a lot. I don't know if I would have as much fun playing as an orc or a troll, just because I don't really associate myself that much with that particular race, the same way that I would say that most people don't associate themselves with the gnomes. not many people play the gnome. Like, if you're a mage, you're probably a person. I've seen gnome rogues, and that's about it. But before I get off track, let me bring myself back. But I really like the Horde, and I feel like for the first time since I started playing the game, I'm truly getting kind of a complete experience playing both sides and double-dipping a little bit. So, yeah. Really exciting. I'm at 25 with my warlock, and I finally have the succubus, which is the best minion ever. Just from a pure gameplay point of view, it's just so much fun just to have one walking around and doing her thing that she does.
You know, an interesting thing, Glantha, about all the minions, I don't know if anybody's aware of this, because you probably wouldn't even notice it unless you were dual boxing, but what they say isn't what everyone hears. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, because today we were together, and I was with I was on Trishel and Ardrion and Aprilian. It was triple boxing, and your minion was saying to one character, "Let's get this party started," and then she was saying a different phrase on another character, so I thought that was interesting. So you don't necessarily, I don't know where it's generated, but you know, if you hear something your minion says and then you go, "Oh wow, wasn't that cute what she said," or something, it might not necessarily be what the other person hears.
Oh, I mean, it's probably a random code generation,
right? On each computer. Kind of interesting, I thought. I mean, it kind of took me by surprise the first time I heard it. I think it was an imp saying, one imp, the imp on one computer was saying, this wasn't in my contract. The imp was saying something else.
What are the other thing they say? Why can't we all just get along?
So I thought that was a little interesting bit of wow trivia, that they don't necessarily say the same thing.
Well, not many people do what you do, April. They don't really have three accounts on two different computers playing at the same time. They're all probably, most of them are lowly one single boxers like me.
And you know, I hate to sound arrogant. I can do this just because, you know, to me it's not a lot of money. I've gone into this on another podcast, but just for those of you that don't know, I used to be on Second Life, and I was spending $200 a month easily buying lindens or buying land. I remember the first time I bought a chunk of land for like $150. And my husband wanted to know, this is not real land, and you're spending real dollars on it. So, to me, with the three accounts, I do the three monthly cycles for each one. So, basically, for a month, I'm paying $41.97, which isn't a lot of money to me. But, of course, if I were to go out to dinner and
that would
movie,
be that. That's a single dinner.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's an interesting thing about triple boxing. You find you see things that are different. And of course, I see that thing that I reported it to Blizzard or to GM as a glitch, but they didn't understand it. Sometimes when one person is shooting, the other person sees them standing still. So if you're in a group and you look around and it looks like somebody's not shooting, they may be shooting, but because of some kind of delay or latency or
that
lag,
that happened on one of on Glantha's character. He had a new gun, and when you shot it, it didn't actually make any kind of noise or action. He would just stand there, and all of a sudden you would have a little damage ticker appear above the mob's mob's head, and it was just very odd. And I did the contact the GM, and they said, "Oh yeah, we know about this, so we're working on it on the next patch, which we can't let you know when that's coming out." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "I just paid good money for this gun. This is a rare gun. I want to have it. I want it to be good."
Good money or good gold?
Yeah, good gold.
Yeah,
I should
you don't
say.
Want to say money because that implies other options.
Well, yeah, that's right. But
you know, there are people who buy things.
Yeah.
In real life.
If I ever say money, everyone, I mean gold.
No,
I don't.
No, I know,
yeah.
But I mean, I just think that's bizarre. I mean, okay, on Second Life, that was different. I mean, I paid $15 for a rare, one of a kind dress for my virtual person to wear. But anyways, so if you ever see somebody who doesn't appear to be shooting, it might just be that it's a glitch. It's also, I think it's also related to that moonwalking thing, because there's a couple of times when I'm with one of my other characters and I'm standing still, but the other character sees me running, and I don't know why, but that irritates me. Have you ever? Well, you've probably been, you know, at the mailbox and you see some guy just keep running in place, and that's probably.
Oh yeah, I have seen that occasionally.
Yeah, but it's just one of those little things. Anyhow, let's get on to what we've been doing this week.
All right, so I've talked a little bit already about Morian and what he's been doing. He's an enchanter, and I want to talk a little bit about enchanting, but we're going to kind of meld that together with our instances that we're talking about later today. So we're going to have that be one combination discussion. So, April, what have you been up to with all of your 8 million alts?
Well, it's kind of funny because I had spent a lot of time with Aunt Rilia getting her into Outland, and I haven't even gone back to Outland. She's at 59, and I know that if I just go out to Outland for even a day or two, she'll ding 60 and she'll get... you get the flying mount at 60, or you get some kind of...
You get the high speed mount.
Yeah,
flying mount, you don't
get until 70.
Get to 70, yeah.
Yeah. But so instead, I've been out with Trishel, and Trishel has been helping Audrion and Aprilian around. Oh, one thing though, I did get kind of obsessed with, and that's sometimes when you get into a craft. Or so you get into a mode about a craft and you want to start leveling it, you get almost kind of obsessive about it. Because every time you learn something new or you create a new thing or a new potion or whatever, it's almost like a release of endorphins. And it kind of reminds me of that game that Riker brought back from Riser on Star Trek.
The name of the episode was The Game.
Was The Game, yeah. Yep. And when you played it, you would drop this little disc into a hole and you get that satisfying feeling. Every time that little line goes up, your skilling is increased to whatever, or your skinning, or your... So, Trishel started leveling alchemy and she went berserk. She went around trying to find silver leaf. There was no silver leaf on the auction house. So then I had to pull out somebody else who was a herbalist, because she has jewel crafting. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, everybody knows alchemists and herbalism goes together hand in hand, but
jewel crafting and mining.
Yeah. But I always find that what happens for me with these, the two hand in hand things, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but the one that's the supply never keeps up with the one that's the user or the crafter.
Yep.
So you end up, you're still doing earth root and silver leaf, but your skills have gone up to mage royal, and so then you got to sit around and search for the right herbs to get your leveling up for your herbs. So I usually like to have, like, my jewel crafter is 10 levels behind my miner, because mm-hmm. my miner can easily get thorium or whatever for the, and then pass it back to the jewel crafter. So this is what I was trying to do. And it actually worked out pretty well because Aprillion was at a level where she could get stuff to Trishel, and she ended up getting a whole bunch of silver leaf. And then, of course, you know what happens, and it's so frustrating. You're gun-ho. I gotta get silver leaf. I've gotta get mage royal. I gotta get this. And you get them, and what happens? You leap past them. Mm-hmm. And now, all of a sudden, you've got a bunch of silver leaf and a bunch of mage royal.
That's all green or gray. Yeah,
that you don't need anymore. And, you know, it was just the day before, this was the goal, and now it's like, oh, gotta get rid of that. Now either you pass it on to somebody else, or you put it back on the auction house, or whatever.
Now, I found that I have a lot of dual professions, a lot of my alts. My blood elf, Warlock, he is doing tailoring and enchanting. And you can't disenchant something that... like, I tried to make some wands... Things right. like that. You can't just enchant things you make with enchanting. However, the other day, I got new gloves, and I was wearing gloves that I had made, and I was able to disenchant the stuff that I made with tailoring.
Right.
So I need to go and see if I can just make stuff and disenchant that, but it looks like there's a feed forward there where you could just make your own stuff, disenchant it.
That's one exception to the rule, the disenchanting and the tailoring, because I've done that. Aprillion at first was she's a tailor, mm-hmm. and she was doing enchanting, and you can make a lot of green stuff that mm-hmm. you don't need, and that's it. It's also very good to like become buddies with somebody else, like a leather worker mm-hmm. that's at the same level. And they can send you all their stuff.
Because I was making all of my green stuff and trying to sell it on the auction house. But right. now that I know I can do that, it's a better return on investment to just disenchant it. Because that enchanting materials is so expensive.
Right. And Veil is a level 258 enchanter. And she's a blacksmith. And it's really easy to make gold and blue stuff that you can disenchant. Mm-hmm. You know, that you can't sell. So that was kind of fortunate for that combination. So mm-hmm. those two are... exceptions to the rule. Well, anything with enchanting is an exception to the rule. But we'll get into that later. The other thing was Real Fire. I'm a little bit embarrassed about Real Fire getting to Thralmar, because Real Fire is my level 50 hunter, and she's a level worker and a skinner, and she had gotten up to 300, and she was a tribal leather worker, mm-hmm. and I don't know if that's changed, because she was able to make some dragon scale stuff, so I don't know if I know something happened with the patch, and if anybody wants to correct me on this or verify it, but I know something happened with leather working in patch, and I didn't really investigate it. But she was at 300, and she was 49, and she couldn't get past the 300 mark mm-hmm. or something, and she got past 300, she got to 50, and I forgot about the master leather trainer
mm-hmm.
and Shat. So I was trying to get her to... I ran into one in Thralmar. Well, when Aunt Rilia got to Outland, and she got to Thralmar, which I love. Have you been? Oh, have you been to?
I've been to Honor Hold.
Right. Okay.
But because my Glanther is in Outland right now, but I've never been to the Horde parts of Outland.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I got there, and there was all these trainers, and she was able to train up to Fell Iron, and she was able to mine Fell Iron, and she was able to, what else did she, oh, she was able to up her skinning, and then she saw the leather worker, oh, and she got those mining bags. Those mining bags are great. I don't understand why not enough, I know some people don't like specialty bags, but.
I love them.
Yeah. They hold 20. They're like 9 gold. Out in Outland, and you can put them on the auction house for 20 gold and make 11 gold and make somebody else happy who can't get to Outland yet. But and she saw the leather worker trainer, so she's like, oh man, Melfire needs to get out here so she can do her training. And so I ended up getting a Sheo to help me summon her, because Melfire is on. Aunt Rilia is with Arwari, who's my other warlock, and Milfire is on the same account with Aprillion, so and there's no way Aprillion will ever get to Outland yet. So I got her summoned, and then I realized that she didn't have the flight path to Shat because there's an intermediate flight path, Falcon Watch.
Oh yeah, it's everything is Horde based because I have the intermediate one. That's the Exodar one, but yeah, there's an intermediate one between the two.
Yeah, and so she, we ran her through Outland. You know, I think she died once. No, she died a bunch of times because we were going through Hellfire Peninsula, which is appropriately named. And she kept getting killed. We finally got out of the flight path. We got to Shattrath. Went down to Lower City, and there was another leather worker trainer. So that was a stupid thing I did. But she's got all the flight paths now. So for those of you who are looking for leather worker, there is one in Shat. And I think I've talked about this before, but you can always get summoned to Shat. And being summoned to Shat is awesome because you can make your home there.
Thank you, Aprilian, for summoning me to Shattrath. I am a level 25 warlock, and I am now in Outland, technically. But I use it. It's a great hub. Because instead of having to wait for the boat to go back and forth, I can just hearth back to Shattrath and then go and
Use the portals and anywhere. You can go to the four major cities, Silvermoon, Orgrimmar, Thunderbluff, and Undercity. And it saves so much time. And
it's just cool.
Yeah, and it's cool. Yeah, because it's beautiful. It still awes me when I go there. And it's kind of neat because there's all these funky alliance people. I mean, alliance people running around.
Yes, those alliance people.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to get into talking about different styles of gameplay. Aurelia is level 59, and like we mentioned, she's gotten into Outland, and it's all fine and good. She's happy and excited, but she has all these quests in Vanilla WoW that she wants to finish them. Well, there are two schools of thoughts on this subject. You've been to Outland, you've seen the quests out there, and you know they give more XP and more gold. What do? Do you abandon the legacy quests you have and seek your fortune in Outland? Or do you play all the content you can so what if you don't get the XP and the gold? You pay to play the game. Isn't it more important to have fun? What do you think, Lantha?
Well, one of the things that this kind of relates back to me is that I'm all about trying to get as many quests as possible to gain reputation, even though I'm not quite sure like what's in it for me. You know,
other than the mounts.
Yeah, WIIFM, you know, yeah. What's in it for me? Besides getting an exalted mount, reputation with individual, the main factions isn't that important. But I like walking around and knowing that I'm revered or exalted with a particular faction. Because there must be something else in there. There must be extra perks and benefits that I just don't know about because I'm not exalted with anyone in the major factions.
If you have any ideas about this, please write us and let us know at controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow@gmail.com. Or you can write
Glanther. Or you can write Glanther, glanther@gmail.com. And we share those emails with each other.
But if you say something nasty about me and you write it to Glanther and you don't want him to tell him, you can tell him that. Just kidding. But okay, I just want to talk about one instance. Okay, I was running around somewhere trying to turn in a quest, and oh, I know, it was the one where you go to, I had it written down somewhere. Anyways, you go to this guy and you have to bring all these components to blow something up. I think it's an Eastern Plagueland. Oh, I know. I was turning in the quest from...
Was it like the raid on Darrowshire? Like
yeah, one of the, yeah, right. I was turning in one of the Stralathom... I can never say that instance, right?
Stratholme.
I always want to put an extra syllable in there. I was turning in that quest, and I ran into this guy who says, oh, could you get me some mithril casings and some bombs and all this stuff? And I thought, I have an engineer. She can do that. And I didn't even give it a second thought that it wouldn't give me as much XP or whatever. But it was the whole challenge of getting all my alts together, because mm-hmm. I had to get some ore and stuff from one alt. And then I had to get something else from another alt. And I got it all together. My engineer made all the stuff I needed and all the components. I had to get some leather or whatever. And it was just a group effort. And it was so much fun to do it and then take it back. And it, all this time, at the time, I'm thinking, should I be doing this or should I be an Outland? But then I thought, I play to pay a game.
Yeah.
I thought I said it wrong. And I want to get everything out of it. It's almost like being on a ride, you know, in an amusement park. And, you know, just because I can get to a ride way ahead, I'm not going to skip this part of It's a Small World or whatever.
Well, we would skip A Small World, but you wouldn't. Sometimes the classic stuff is still really neat.
Yeah, interesting and fun to do. I mean, I might.
Space Mountain, right?
Yeah. You
know, Space Mountain, it's a roller coaster. It's still going to be good.
Right. It's not as good as Universal World or Universal
Studios
with the Star Trek thing. But it's still interesting to do Space Mountain, you know, and ride around. Don't you fly in a car or something?
Yeah, it's something. It's something Disney. But but it's still a lot of fun, and it's classic, you know. It's part of the experience of, you know, before, like before Burning Crusade, you're gonna see a bunch of characters that are eventually gonna say, you know, when I was your level,
there
was no such thing as we had to LFG to find our groups, you know, like
we could only get to level 60, and we were happy and we liked it.
Yeah,
we didn't have any flying mounts, and what is you know. I think then one day we're going to end up going into outer space. We've got to.
If
it keeps going, I don't know. Is it going to be a crossover with StarCraft or something?
Oh, I don't think that ever happened. If there's going to be a crossover, there'd be a Diablo Warcraft crossover, which would be so awesome. I mean, I know we're getting... This is a World of Warcraft podcast, but
we can digress.
But Diablo would be an amazing multiplayer game. However, it would be rated M. Because even I remember just playing the game when it's like 2D, you know, there was some stuff in there that, you know, wouldn't go over so well with people under the age of 16, I don't think. There were parts in there I was like, this is a little creepy, you know.
But I remember the dungeons in Diablo and how I thought it was so neat and exciting and colorful, and how, you know, fascinating it was to go around and find these different things and get this whatever I needed to get. And you know, when you look back compared to...
You're like, you can't really play it anymore because you feel like you're in the Dark Ages running around with two-dimensional characters. I guess they're three-dimensional, but, I mean, not the same way that World of Warcraft is.
Right. Okay, so now we're going to talk about instances. So, let's talk about instances. I have to tell you, I was very hesitant about playing instances, especially triple or double boxing, because, you know, I didn't want to mess up and wipe with anyone and ruin anybody's instance. But I have lately, I've been playing with Asheo. You met.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She has two characters. Just, well, Asheo, her level 70 warlock, and then she has Jekyll and Hyde, who are 20 in their 20s, and... one's a hunter and one's a...
So Jekyll's one of your alts?
No, Jekyll is one of Asheo's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, wait, who's all these...
No, it gets kind
of
confusing.
It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, well, we've been actually making a 5-man group with my 3 and her 2. Or he's actually a he, but I think of her as a her.
Yeah.
And so it's been kind of neat because I can relax. I don't have to worry. I know that she knows, and I don't have to worry about messing up because she's got her too, and we've got it down pretty good. We've got BFD on farm status. I've always wanted to say that. I have no idea what that means. I
think BFD it means, on farm status?
Yeah, what does farm status mean? Does that mean that you can
go in there? I always thought that farming was just when you... Just going through and just killing lots of stuff for XP and for loot. And
right, without having... You've already done it for quests and you've got it down pretty... Yeah, so I guess we have Black Fathom Death on farm status, which I absolutely love that instance. Jekyll and Hyde hate it because it's so convoluted, but I think it's so interesting. And there's all these underwater things, and of course we have warlocks, so we can do the unending breath. And it was funny because last week I spent hours jumping, trying to jump the platform. Have you ever done that one?
No.
When you get there. And actually, we did the shortcut. When I first did it with Jekyll and Hyde, there's this platform you climb up on, and then it's got three broken pieces. Mm-hmm. So you have to jump three times. And every time I would do it, I would fall either on the second time or the last time. And a couple times the first time. And it was so frustrating. I spent 20 minutes jumping. And finally, I started with my lead character. Trishel was the level 49 hunter. And she's usually in the lead, and then Aprilian follows, and Ardrian is behind Aprilian. Because Aprilian and Trishel are on the same computer, so I have to alt-tab to get back and forth between those two. And then Ardrian is on the laptop, and so I can see him. So as long as he's moving, I know that he's following Aprilian. So by what he's doing, I can tell that Aprilian is following Trishel. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to have some kind of coordination between when you triple box like that. And of course, I'm just an amateur at it. I look at some of these other people who have macros and all these things set up, and I'm in awe. But anyways, I started with Trishel, and I kept falling. And I said, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get Aprilian over there. And Jekyll and Hyde had jumped easily. I never played those Mario platforming games where you have to jump to one platform while it's moving or whatever, so I had no coordination. I would go to hit the space bar to make the jump either too soon and fall in the water or too late and slam into the next platform, you know, figuratively. And so I actually wasted soul shards by jumping Aprilian over, and that took like 15 minutes. And then she'd get over to Jekyll and Hyde, and then summon Trishel and and Ardrian over like 10 feet or whatever, 20 feet past, so they don't have to do the jumping. And after doing this, multiple times, it was driving me crazy. One day I was there with just Trishel, Ardrian, and Aprilian. And I said, this has got to be a better way. So I swam underneath the platform, heading to the right. When you get to the water, it's right past the big elite turtle who happens to just drop mail. By the way, Black Fathom Death, or BFD, is definitely for a warrior because it drops a whole bunch of blue mail. I mean,
well, the end character drops a really nice staff, which... Aprilian, how great is that staff?
It's really nice. Ardrian, my hunter, loves it. Yes, yes, people. I know I talked about last week how I ninja'd a ring. I want some more sword. Picking up this item will bind it to you. And this time, it was at the end, and it was some guy's head. And I thought it was like a special quest thing. Of course, you know, in retrospect, why would a quest item bind on pickup? If it's a quest item, they're going to be bind on pickup anyways. And I know, but sometimes a book like that...
That is true.
That shattered necklace in Alderman, it binds on pickup. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It's kind of stupid. And it's... And then when you go to do the quest, it tells you you're not the right class. So it's real stupid. But so, I mean, there's precedent. I'm really not a stupid airhead ninja. But I swear,
we weren't even
in the same room at all when it happened. I heard him crying across the town. Because it was, what was it? I'll link it in the show notes, but it was a blue staff.
It was a really nice staff, because Morian is going around with the typical, like the staff that you get when you defeat the big bad guy in Ghostlands. Oh, like this the blue staff that all blood elves get.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic staff. This one was much better though.
Yeah.
And
it was funny because
Slash cry.
Yeah, and I was feeling so bad, and Adrian felt so badly that he actually put his dual-wielding blue saber sword and his dagger away and fought with the staff. Just so that, you know, he ninja'd the staff and he wanted to at least use it before he vendored it. And it's funny because I had mentioned to somebody, I won't tell who, that I was using the staff, and they were like, oh no, you can't use that. You're a hunter. You're supposed to duel well. And I'm like, but it's pretty and it's blue and I wanna use it. And it's just funny because there are certain things that you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that some people just...
I was a hunter, and I used a pole arm for a long time. So, I mean, you don't need to dual wield.
Ooh, what? Sorry, that was Jasper. My chihuahua. My fat chihuahua. It's funny. I'm going to digress here. I was walking down the street, and somebody asked me what kind of dogs they were. And I just go ahead and say, they're a special breed. They're called fat chihuahuas. Because they don't look like regular chihuahuas because they're chunky. But we love them anyway. So anyways, back to instances. So we've got BFD on farm status. And then we did Shadow...
We did Shadowfang Keep, which is a lot of fun. It's not a really big instance.
No.
But I'd never done that instance before, and it was just really cool and neat and interesting to be in there finally. And it's nice to be in there with Trishelle, because she could do the whole thing by herself. So I felt kind of protected going through there, but...
And the thing I try to do when I'm using a higher level... alt, and I want to get some feedback on this from you. I want to know what you feel about it. I have been ran through one instance before. Somebody ran me through the library part of Scarlet Monastery, or some part of Scarlet Monastery, and I was told just stay there. I wasn't allowed to do anything. They just ran around, killed stuff, and then called me up to loot, and it was like five of us, so we're like chatting and stuff. I think I've talked about this before.
Oh, but that would drive me crazy.
Yeah,
it would
so drive me insane. I kind of hang back, and then if, you know, and I do some shooting, and if I need to do some heavy-duty stuff, then I'll go in and do the protecting and try to, you know, save the group from wiping. But I think, you know, even though she's 49,
mm-hmm.
Even though she's 49, she can still, and she could do the instance by herself. She let everybody kind of... do it. Get in and do the... Scroll down. And do the whole thing themselves. Or start doing it. You know, at least shoot, get some XP. Well, they're going to get XP anyways. But just to get in there and get the feel of it, you know. And then I'm the backup. So then we went from Shadowfang Keep to but you didn't come with us. RFK.
No, I haven't gone to RFK yet.
I did the craziest thing in RFK. I stayed there for 7 hours. I went in around 6 a.m. today and hung out with... I just had Jekyll. I don't think Hyde was... No, I had Jekyll and Hyde. They were both there. And we went through and we actually got... we got everything done. We did that stupid tuber thing, Blue Leaf. Have you done that one?
No.
Where you go down to this guy in Ratchet, and he gives you this crate with this gopher in it, and you get a command stick and a book on how to take care of it, and you get another crate to put these things in. You have to find the specific vine in RFK, and then you stick your gopher on the vine, and he digs up these... blue leaf things, and then you have to gather 6 of them. It's the most convoluted quest I've ever seen in my life.
That sounds insane.
It is. It's totally insane. And then you have to use 4 slots. Because you got the gopher, and you got the crate,
I've actually
and you got the command stick, and you got the book.
Yeah, I find that the goblins give the strangest quests.
This was
always. The Steam Wheel Cartel, they give just really odd, convoluted things. You're like, why do you want to do this?
Or like the field testing one. Have you done that one in Tanaris?
Yes.
You got to do this experiment, and you got to do all this. You got to make sure you get a right sample. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's to make it a little bit different, but this was kind of crazy. But the neatest thing is, and I found this out for anybody that wants to try it, when you're on the vine and you're doing the quest, you can do multiple people can do it at the same time. So I guess, you know, there. So we're sitting there with these gophers and we're digging and we're getting our stuff. But then when you're finished, they stay around, and they're so cute. They're like the, I guess they're like the squirrels almost without the mm-hmm. tail. And it was funny because I was experimenting, and I like to experiment in an instance. I don't like to just go in and do it and leave. I like to go in and get to know it and try mm-hmm. different things. So Trishelle, while we were in there was another, I looked up on the internet, the tubes, and found another quest, Guano. And we had been in this cave that was full of bats. And it turns out that you need to go back and get some more, get bat guano. But it, when we first looked it up, it said it started in the instance, but it was actually a misprint. And it actually starts in Undercity in the Apothecarium, which is a creepy place. Have you been there?
You know, I have to say that Undercity is probably my favorite city.
I think so, too.
Just because, I mean, it's not the most useful one, and it's certainly, like, I think playing both Alliance and Horde, I think that the easiest city to get around in is Ironforge.
Okay.
Because you have just a giant circle, and you can get to, like, basically everything that you need right there in that one city. Stormwind has those stupid canals that you have to kind of run around, and Undercity is just, kind of like Ironforge, but it's huge, and you have to go through very specific. They get from the inner circle out, you have to go through just one passageway.
Right.
That's kind of annoying. And Blood Moon and Silver Moon City is just really big, and same kind of idea. You have to take these long, winding passages.
Right,
Aghrimmar is probably the closest one to Ironforge. Yeah. There's like a nice hub where you can go and do everything.
The only problem with Ironforge, and I have an alt that's hanging out there, is there are gnomes.
Yet.
They can't get away from them. And they're really funny little gnomes. I think the warrior gnomes are like the funniest. How in the world can a gnome be a warrior? You know, and you got all these... Okay, never mind. I just think the warlock gnomes. A gnome with a minion. Come on.
You know, I admit, I do have a level one alt who is a gnome mage. Simply because they have great intellect and things like that. And they really could only be a mage.
Right. A gnome. Yeah.
That's all they could be.
That's how they should be.
And his name is Fizzle Spark. And I have him there more or less because I like the name. And I do placeholder names. I'm like those people that, you know, go and buy up domain sites and then they don't actually use them. But I like the name. And he kind of sits there and he doesn't really do anything. I once had a gnome warlock. And then... But then, at level 8, I actually saw another gnome warlock run by on his mount, and he had the Felsteed, and it looked ridiculous. He's on this huge horse, and the gnome is about the size of the horse's head, and I realized that, no, they need to think of some way of making, like, some kind of...
Miniature
Felsteed, or, like, the Fel pony. I don't know. Like an evil demon pony, but that whole idea just sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, you know what I thought about? I thought that that Blizzard missed one thing with the Blood Elves. I think the Horde needs a tiny race.
The Horde isn't about tiny races. The Horde would eat them. You know, the Horde the Horde would be like, I'm hungry. They would never ally with anything smaller than their chest.
We want an alliance. Oops, oh wait, I'm stuck in your mouth. That's true. I did think that maybe little tiny blood elves.
Even the blood elves, like, the blood elves I really like my blood elf, but all of his emotes, he's really mean and nasty. In fact, one of his emotes, if you do slash silly, he says, I hear that we're allied with the Tauren. Looks like we're going to be having steak twice a week. And
yeah, and you know, the women blood elves say some really nasty stuff
too. Yeah, and
they make fun of the undead and
you can tell they don't really want to be part of the Horde, and all they do is complain about the Sunwell. They really are just basically they're from Southern California, and you feel like everyone else is like the homegrown kind of middle American, like work hard, you know, and the Alliance is definitely like all the people from the the Northeast.
Oh, so I guess the Tauren are from
the Tauren are definitely Native American. You know, they're like they're the Southwesterners, I believe. Like you can see,
And the Orcs would probably be from West Virginia.
Yeah, they'd probably be West Virginia. The trolls,
Florida.
I love America. So all of you listeners out there that
We're not American.
We're making fun. I'm from the Northeast, and so
I'm from Virginia. Well, my family's from Virginia.
Yeah, so. I grew up in Massachusetts. So
I lived on a farm.
So when
I actually used to watch Hee Haw.
Really? Yeah. So my mother grew up on a farm in upstate New York, and so we all know that.
I think we're getting near the end. We didn't get any emails this week, so we'd love to get some emails. We're going to try to get more structured with our program. We're going to have what we've been doing, and we're going to have gameplay. We're going to be discussing all forms of different gameplays, ranging from how serious you play or how hard you play to what kind of interface you use. I currently use Titan Panel. And I think Lanther uses
Cosmos UI.
Yeah, so we're going to maybe next week compare, do some screenshots, and actually talk about what's kind of works for each other.
Oh, we didn't talk about enchanting and
instances. Oh, yeah, that's what we wanted to talk about. Well, we have time. We can do that.
Okay, so just kind of quickly, before we end the podcast, we were talking about enchanters and groups. So, Aprilian actually had some really great stuff on this. So, why don't you kind of...
I've never brought up on the show, but I think I've seen some discussions about this and what Enchanter's role is in an instance. And, of course, you know, there's an instance... One of the reasons why we run them is you get greens and sometimes blues. And a lot of times, for some reason, the group makeup is usually quite the opposite of whatever drops. We were in BFD, and we were two warlocks, two hunters, and a druid. Is he a druid?
Yeah.
No, he's not a druid.
Yeah, he's a druid. Is he a druid?
Okay. Yep. Who uses totems?
Shamans.
Okay, yeah. I've been kidding Ashayo or Jekyll about the fact that, how come you haven't dropped any totems? He goes, I'm a druid.
He spells it out. He's like D-R-U-I-D.
D-R-O-I-D.
Druid. Oh, yeah.
Because so then it became a joke. I kept running up to him wanting to trade fishy scales. No, I'm not a shaman. I'm a druid. So anyways, so here we are with this makeup, two warlocks, two hunters, and a druid. And what kept dropping? Male,
yes.
Okay, so if you're an enchanter and a bunch of greens or blues drop instantly, nobody else can use them. You want them. Okay, yeah, because you can do something with them. The most that anyone else can do with something, especially when it's bind on pickup, is vendor them. And of course, we know whatever you get at the vendor isn't going to be anywhere near what you can get for a shard if you disenchant them. And there was a big discussion on the message boards for Alea Iactas, and Glanther has recently joined Alea Iactas, and you're enjoying it.
Oh, yes, very much.
Yeah, it's really kind of crazy. They did a bull run. Did you see the bull
run? I did see the running of the bulls.
Yes, and it was quite interesting. I think you have to pause before that you can turn that on. And so on the boards, there was a discussion about whether or not it's fair that the enchanter gets everything that's not needed, because, you know, they can be sold for money, although less, other people can need it. Then the question was that there is one other, there's a couple other schools of thought. So one is that the enchanter can disenchant the item and then people roll for shards, but that's almost like he's doing something for free that he or she has made a, invested a lot of time and money to be able to do. And then I came up with a third option, which is if somebody does want, if you roll for the item and you get it and it's bind on pickup, maybe you could offer it to the enchanter to disenchant for a fee. I think that's a, okay, so as an enchanter, Glanth is going to give us his viewpoint of all three scenarios.
So, enchanting is, I think about it in the way that you can't be the president of the United States without doing your time doing something else. And now, granted, you don't have to necessarily be a politician, but you don't just wake up one day and you say, I'm going to be the president today. You've probably spent some time as like a public defender or as some kind of entry-level business person or something. Enchanting you below, you do your time. Enchanting below 300 is really very difficult to upkeep, and it's not really very rewarding. To do something as kind of ridiculous as adding a, one stamina to an item requires like 2 gold worth of raw materials. That's a lot. It's a lot of like money to outlay for something that's not that great. And people balk at the, like, I'll do it, I'll enchant something for you, but it's going to cost you like 50 silver or 1 gold. They're like, well, why? It's just this stupid, like, +1 damage. And I'm like, well, it cost me like 2 gold to get this stupid recipe. You know, I want to try and get something back. Because you spend money trying to get to 300. Yeah. Like, you lose money getting there.
Yeah, and so, I can't think of any other craft that costs as much. You know, when I wanted to change crafts and go to, like, herbalism or picking stuff, it's way cheaper than trying to do the same thing on enchanting. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, but anyway, I'm all about, if no one else needs it, then give it to the enchanter, because they could, it's already so expensive, they could use every little bit. Every little bit helps.
How do you feel about enchanting for the group, disenchanting for the group?
Disenchanting for the group, the idea that you had about tipping people, like, disenchant, so they get the soul shard because they rolled, they got it, you know, they deserve whatever you have, but you still are the, you still made that investment. It's nice to have just a little bit. It doesn't have to be a big tip, but just, you know, 50 silver, you know, something like that. If you're a high level character, 50 silver is not that much,
right?
Especially if you're going to disenchant a blue item,
right? Or even, I think another thing would be to let the enchanter have so many X amount of green items, and then they can disenchant a blue item for somebody for free if they get it on a roll. It's a very touchy subject because it's not like any other skill. It's like any other skill. It's like if I made something as a leather worker, I expect somebody to pay me for it. I don't expect to do the leather working for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, but one of the examples was that sometimes rogues open lock boxes or chests in an instance for free. Speaking of which, next time we go to Shadowform Keep, we have to bring a... Don't go to Shadowform... I mean, Razor...
Razor Fen...
Crawl. Or whatever. RFK.
RFK.
Without a rogue, because there's like 2 or 3 chests that are locked. And it was funny, because the first chest we came upon, I went to roll for it, and Jekyll or Hyde said, go ahead, you can have it. And I'm like, oh, how nice. And then I get there, and it's locked. So I think that's it for today. We've gone a little bit longer than usual, but I think it was a good cast.
Please email us about your ideas, questions, especially with enchanting. If you have if you're an enchanter out there and something works for you, or if you've seen it work really well in a group, and also like just your gameplay stuff.
Right. So next week we're gonna have 3 segments: what we've been doing, gameplay, and we're gonna focus. Maybe we'll focus on an individual instance.
Yeah.
And actually go over not particularly how to do it, but what we had fun doing.
Yeah.
Because I really had fun in RFK. And I've got those pigs. those razor manes, yep. And that scream they give when they find you in my head. So that's it for this week. This is Aprilian.
And this is Glanther.
And happy WoW playing.
Yes, take care.
'Til next time, go on, shine, lady, watch over you.